Vous écoutez L'Autre Monde, nous sommes au Hellfest, édition 2026, and we are with the band Viglios, and I'm with the singer, Elle, nice to meet you.
Hey, hi.
What do you feel about your performance of this morning at the Hellfest?
It was very hot, but it was very, very nice. Like, it was a perfect ending now. We were a month on tour in Africa and had just like a couple of days off, and now Hellfest is like the final show for now. We'll do some more shows in August, but it was a very nice final show now on this run. I'm very happy.
Your new album, Tome 2, Ignis Sacer, dwells into medieval ergoticism. How did you translate this historical intoxication and its effects on the psyche and the society into black metal sound?
Well, it just very fitted naturally, like the whole psychedelic aspect we already had kind of in our music already, and so the area where we're from, it's very much connected to this kind of history, and so it fit like a glove, really. Like we were able to express our like more psychedelic side a bit more in this record. We were like playing around a bit with like, as we were before, with some kind of quirky, goofy elements as well, because I feel like this is eventually also what black metal is about. Like, it's the devil's music, it has to be kind of fun, you know.
How do you find the balance between the black metal's coldness and those more rock influences, touches?
Well, I mean, in the end, it's all influenced by rock, it's all which in turn, again, is all influenced by blues. I feel like it's guitar music, and so everything goes and everything works eventually. It's just about like how daring you are, like how willing to play around you are, you know. And for us, it just comes very naturally, because our background is very diverse when we come to like music. Like, I grew up in a blues family. We have people from like a jazz surrounding, a punk surrounding, a metal surrounding. So in the end, we just do what we like.
For this album, you explore the cycle of sowing, rot, and rebirth. How is this metaphor of the natural circle, but applied to a dark context, reflect in the album's structure, from the opener sowing to the conclusion follow, a new cycle begins? Is there an explicit narrative intention in the album?
Yeah, like both our albums were like kind of built cyclically. It wasn't really intended in the first place, but somehow we always end up kind of going through that whole kind of cycle when we write music. Like, I feel like somehow we end up with music or something that like feels like it sounds like a beginning, and we end up with music or tracks that sound like the end, you know. Like, so somehow it just, whenever we write the songs and we put them together, we're like, oh yeah, this makes very much sense, like to arrange them like that. And I feel like, me personally, for example, we had this talk yesterday about when we listen to music in the tour bus, we always listen to the whole albums, because I feel like that's how they're intended, or like most of the albums should be intended, and especially in this time now where you have all these like streamings, and you have to just like put out a track and it has to be like 3 minutes max, and it has to kick from the beginning. This is just not our style of like writing music or writing art in general, if you like subjugate yourself towards these like algorithms. And so we like to take our time, and we like to like build a world with every album, or like build a story with every album.
For the name of the band, which means the light bright enough to kill a man, it's particularly evocative. How does this concept of a dangerous light inform about your music and your aesthetic?
Well, they're not strictly connected. Like, we found this expression, we found this word in an old manuscript, because one of us studies like old Norse culture. And it just resonated very much with us, like, because we felt it's just a very nice descriptive word of like how we intend to be, just like bright enough to like fuck you up properly, you know.
You recorded this album with Marc Aubrise from Zealand Ardor. What was the contribution of this collaboration to the production of Ignis Sacer, and did you feel a particular influence from his work in your sound?
Well, we recorded actually both albums with him, and I think the main influence probably is just like how open he is to like our vision and how well he's able to like craft it into the final product. Like even the whole setup we have there in the studio, which is a bit on the countryside in an old barn, there's like a nice little garden in the back, so we can record and we sit out in the garden, you see some like flowers and bees flying around, and then he cooks some pasta for us, and like he just takes his time and like tries to understand what we want and what kind of vision we have. And so I think this is really his contribution to the album, that is like trying to make it as we envision it. And yeah, I think really that is the case. He's not really forcing any of his own like music or work onto us, but like really trying to cut out what we intend to sound like.
More something like not a coach, but a guy who lets you do your stuff and push the boundaries to the limit.
He's our Rick Rubin, yeah. He just sits there like Buddha in his chair and like, yeah, just listens to it. It's like, yeah, maybe we do a little bit of that, or like, what do you think about that? And you know, and then we just like try and explore it together, you know.
And is there a difference between the album and the live performance? Did you change some stuff in the structure or in the sound?
Well, I mean, based on the fact that you have like so limited play times with bigger festivals, we shortened some of the songs down to play them live and not just like go on stage and play two songs. That would be a bit silly sometimes. So we tightened them up a bit for a live performance. And I think we'll just, yeah, on an album has to be something else than a live performance, and they work differently. And when we try and like take our time on an album or like sound very like full and harmonious and warm, like we try to be, the exact opposite when we play live, like be more imminent, be more to the point, and be more, yeah, just raw, you know, because that's eventually what I want from a live show. Like I don't want to see a band and they sound like exactly like on the record, because then I can just listen to the music on record, you know.
I just came here a little bit early, so I heard the sound check of your voice. You use no effects, nothing. It came from the deep, from the inside. How do you do that?
Yeah, no, I have no effects or anything. I just figured out what I can and what I like and just play around with it, you know. And eventually it worked. I think there's a lot that wants to break out.
This album is described as an immersion that aims to be sonic, visual and olfactory. Could you elaborate on what you mean by an olfactory experience in the context of a black metal album?
Well, that in case we meant for the live performance, not for the album, because you cannot smell a record. But yeah, we're burning incense. We're being very visual. We try to play very loud and very very direct. And so yeah, that's what we mean by that. You know, like a 4D cinematic experience. You know.
How do you envision the evolution of your sound and your artistic identity in the coming years?
Well, I think the good thing with the people that we are inside the band is that we really don't set ourselves like borders or limits and kind of just do whatever we feel like. Like we don't have like strict plans like where to go right now, but just like, yeah, sometimes we end up having like, oh, this could be fun, let's try that, you know. And so it's really hard to tell, but there is definitely no like straight line that we're pursuing, you know. Like maybe we'll become way more obscure, or maybe we'll do whatever like weird album next. Like I don't know. Like I feel just like eventually there's something that clicks with all of us, and then we just like dig in there and see where it leads us. Like there is no final thoughts that we have already when it comes to like creating music or anything. We just like see where we just go with the flow.
You've got to make a choice. You've got a 5 invitation for a birthday party, but it's always the 5 are on the same date.
Yeah.
So you need to choose between the 40th anniversary of the video game Zelda, the 30th anniversary of the movie Scream, the 50th anniversary of the book Interview with a Vampire, the 40th anniversary of Dragon Ball, the animation series, or Star Trek for the 60th anniversary of the TV series.
Well, this is gonna suck now, but I don't know any of it.
Okay.
Like, I've never seen Dragon Ball, I've never seen Star Trek, I don't know about Zelda. Yeah, no, and what else?
Interview with a vampire, never
read that too, like, and yeah, I'll just stay home, I guess.
Okay.
Or like go on a nice hike or something. Yeah, I'm not really into that kind of pop culture, I'm sorry.
Is there a band you want to see at the Hellfest, especially?
Oh, good question. I mean, yesterday we went to see Iron Maiden because for me they're just, yeah, they've been there since childhood, you know, and it's just it's fucking gods. Today, I think we're much more open to just like walk around and maybe like find some bands because that's sometimes also something nice because you never know everyone and so just like walking around and see what happens, like getting pulled in, getting sucked in. That's probably the plan. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks to you.